The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/earnings. netsuite.com/earnings.
Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
Welcome to Prognosis. I'm Laura Carlson. It's day 312 since coronavirus was declared a global pandemic. Today's main story: rich countries have amassed the lion's share of vaccine doses, and that puts the entire world's immunity at risk. But first, here's what happened in virus news today. Joseph Biden was sworn in as President of the United States today. High on his pandemic agenda is mending the country's ties with the World Health Organization. Biden plans to send Anthony Fauci, the nation's top infectious disease expert, to speak at the WHO executive board meeting this week. It's a repudiation of Donald Trump's attitude to the organization since the start of the pandemic. The Biden transition team released a fact sheet this morning, saying the new administration will work with the WHO to strengthen and reform it. Pfizer and its partner BioNTech published results from a lab trial that build the case that their vaccine will protect against the new, more contagious variant of the coronavirus. The results, published on Wednesday, add to previous research showing that antibodies in the blood of people who had been vaccinated were able to neutralize a version of the mutant virus that was created in a lab. The new research has not yet been peer-reviewed. Finally, Germany's daily coronavirus death toll rose by the most since the pandemic began, even as there are tentative signs the infection rate is starting to come down. Chancellor Angela Merkel and regional leaders agreed to extend and tighten Germany's coronavirus restrictions. Merkel called on European partners to synchronize measures to contain the spread. Otherwise, she said, travel restrictions would be imposed.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's Stifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
And now for today's main story. In a race to catch up with emerging coronavirus variants, wealthy countries are already benefiting from potent vaccines. While the U.S., Britain, and the European Union have given citizens about 24 million doses so far, more than half of the shots administered globally, vast numbers of countries have yet to begin their campaigns. I spoke with London-based reporter James Payton, who says these disparities pose a threat to both have and have not states. was wondering if you might break this down for us a bit. What's the economics at heart here behind a country's ability to secure and distribute COVID-19 vaccines?
Yeah, it's a good question. So the world, in a way, is splitting into two tiers today. We see wealthier countries, as you say, including the US, Britain, members of the European Union, ramp up their immunization campaigns. And despite some inevitable snags along the way, those efforts are progressing. They're well underway. At the same time, many developing and middle-income nations around the world have yet to begin their rollouts, or they're only just starting up. And just this week, the head of the World Health Organization said around 50 higher-income nations had begun their vaccine drives. And we keep track of this at Bloomberg globally. The Bloomberg tracker shows almost 50 million doses so far have been administered. The problem is only one of the world's lowest income countries had started as of a couple of days ago, according to the WHO, and had given just 25 doses to individuals. That's 25 doses. Now, people who've been following this issue closely won't be surprised that there's a gap, because the world has been moving in this direction for some months, with major economies like the US and UK aggressively snapping up billions of doses in recent months and striking supply deals with manufacturers. But now here we are in a situation where there's a risk of a widening immunity gap. And of course, there are significant ethical considerations. You talk about the fairness of this, which is a huge factor. The director of the WHO said the world, in his words, is now on the brink of a catastrophic moral failure. But this is also a huge public health and economic problem potentially as well. You know, widespread deployment of vaccines is seen by disease authorities as well as financial experts as the key to getting the virus under control, reviving battered economies. So the implications are significant no matter where you are. And obviously, if we allow the virus to continue to advance in large parts of the world without vaccines to protect the population, then the virus could get an edge and we could see new variants and, you know, the level of concern could rise. So that's why this is such an urgent issue, and why there's a need, you know, according to public health authorities, to move swiftly here.
Now, as you say, there have been numerous calls and certainly efforts to make vaccine distribution more equitable around the globe. One such effort is something called COVAX. And I was wondering if you might talk a bit about what its role has been in terms of this equity debate.
Yeah. So as you say, there have been ambitious global efforts to tackle this disparity, to address this problem. Many months ago, the WHO and a group called Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, and CEPI, the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations, formed this program called COVAX, as you say, and the goal is basically to equitably deploy vaccines to every corner of the planet. And this initiative recently announced that it had secured, I believe it was almost 2 billion doses for the world, and would start rolling out those inoculations in the first months of 2021 that could begin in earnest in February, I believe. But again, the WHO this week issued some pretty dire comments suggesting that several countries had expressed concern about whether COVAX would have enough vaccines to meet demand, and that with so many countries now pursuing their own direct supply agreements with manufacturers rather than going through COVAX, that it could jeopardize global collaboration and even bump up the prices of vaccines, which would further exacerbate the challenge of getting doses to the developing world. So some of the experts I've talked to point out that some countries now are getting increasingly anxious about the timing and the quantities of COVID vaccine doses. We're seeing a flurry of these bilateral negotiations between countries and drug makers that are proceeding separately from COVAX. And, you know, vaccine advocates are aware of this problem. And so they've called on countries and companies to take some steps to address it. So there's significant work and discussion underway, though clearly the urgency is growing as we enter a new phase of the pandemic in 2021.
And I wanted to go back to something you were talking about a little bit earlier, which is the proportion to which countries, particularly wealthy countries, have been able to secure specific vaccines. You know, what is the distribution in terms of, say, the supply of Pfizer vaccines versus Moderna vaccines or even, say, the AstraZeneca vaccine? Which type of vaccine is going to which country?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. So, and some of the people I've talked to have suggested that this isn't just a question of access to vaccines globally, but it's also an issue of access to highly potent vaccines or the best vaccines. And the arrival of shots from Pfizer and Moderna, both of which generated efficacy levels of around 95%, pretty remarkable results in late stage clinical trials, that has sparked the question of whether the entire world will be able to secure the same level of protection for their populations. And wealthy countries have largely bought up the doses of those two vaccines. The data that we've seen shows that they've high-income nations have secured something like 85% of the Pfizer doses and 100% of the Moderna doses thus far. Now, much of the world is going to be relying on vaccines from AstraZeneca, the UK drug maker, and its partner, the University of Oxford, along with a Chinese company called Sinovac, potentially a vaccine from Johnson & Johnson, a number of others that are coming soon, potentially. Now, even if those vaccines don't match the same headline efficacy numbers, you know, these vaccines have been tested for their ability to prevent symptoms. Health authorities say that when it comes to preventing severe disease and suffering and deaths, the most important factors to consider, the data we've seen so far suggests that the first vaccines could be comparable, but all of these vaccines could end up diverging in terms of side effects and how long their protection could last, how efficient they are in actually stopping the spread of the virus, which will become even more critical, I think, in the coming months. So the jury is still out, and it's going to be important to consider some of those issues in light of the access disparities we're seeing. Clearly, the first vaccines out of the gates, those wealthy countries have been quite aggressive in buying up those doses. But AstraZeneca and the University of Oxford in particular are seen as playing a really critical role now in getting vaccines to the rest of the world.
As we've been talking about, wealthier nations have been able to secure, in some cases, not just enough doses to immunize their populations, but actually double the amount of doses they would need to immunize their populations, specifically countries such as Canada or the UK or even the US. How have these nations reacted thus far to calls for them perhaps to share their doses, their unused doses, or doses that they have secured but may not actually need?
Yeah, it's a good question. We have seen some steps by some wealthy countries in recent days and weeks. I believe Canada has pledged to invest in a mechanism to redistribute doses. Norway just said it would donate some extra supplies. So there is, you know, plenty of focus on this issue and reason to think that, you know, some of these efforts to narrow that divide will succeed and that some of these countries may, you know, share some of these doses, reallocate some of these doses. But, you know, this is a scenario that people have been warning about for about a year, and there is some skepticism about when that will happen. I think it's also important to stress that with the incoming Biden administration, we're likely to see some major moves to shake up the vaccine effort and the COVID response. And that could have interesting implications that have a ripple effect well beyond U.S. borders. There are signs that the U.S. now is set to join COVAX and re-engage with the World Health Organization. So that could be a turning point in a way. We'll just have to wait and see. But in the global effort, that could be significant.
That was James Payton. And that's it for our show today. For coverage of the outbreak from 120 bureaus around the world, visit Bloomberg.com/coronavirus. And if you like the show, please leave us a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It's the best way to help more listeners find our global reporting. The Prognosis Daily Edition is produced by Topher Forges, Magnus Henriksen, and me, Laura Carlson. Today's main story was reported by James Payton. Original music by Leo Sidran. Our editors are Rick Schein and Francesca Levy. Francesca Levy is Bloomberg's head of podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier, too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.